The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed, it's ripened into a precious friendship. I could have never seen what was coming for me. Hangs at the skate park, hangs by the beach. My life, it feels like.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother and Me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
What's up, Trav Nation? It's me, your middleest brother, Travis Vroom Vroom McElroy.
What's good, Trav Nation? It's me, your sweet baby brother, 30 under 30, Griffin McElroy.
The new Donkey Kong is here. Donkey Kong Banananza.
You couldn't sound more enthusiastic. Banananza. There we go.
Justin's some coughing issues, Griffin. How dare you?
What a jerk. It's also not my job to try to sell Nintendo products. That's the job of Shigeru Miyamoto and his best friend, Reggie Fils-Aimé.
Yeah, sure.
That's the only people that his job.
God, that fucking, I would watch that buddy cop movie, Big Cop, Little Genius Cop, gimme.
Yeah, where Shigeru Miyamoto is like solving the crimes and Reggie Fils-Aimé is out there like has his muscle, his enforcer.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Hold on. Now we're on to something.
No, but I was playing the new Donkey Kong game today and I was thinking like it was this sense I had where my daughter was playing the Donkey Kong and she was enjoying it and I felt uncomfortable. And I started thinking about it and I think there's something, do you guys think there is something inherently puerile about Donkey Kong?
Yeah. Oh, for sure, dude.
Yeah, man.
For sure, dude. He's not... This man, we have all been so quick to forgive.
Yeah.
He kidnapped women professionally. Like, the only thing you knew about this dude is he liked to climb a tower, he liked to throw a barrel, he liked to kidnap a woman.
I would say...
And now we're just supposed to... And now, because it's been 40 years or whatever, we're supposed to just... Let bygones be bygones? I don't think so, Mr. Kong.
No, I would say that pretty confidently, I would say that Donkey Kong is the kind of person that you were really good friends with in college, and you loved his party animal antics, and now, like, that you're a parent, a grown-up.
I can't bring him around my kids. No way.
No way, right?
You might, like, enjoy... remembering the times you spent with Donkey Kong, but when you hang out with Donkey Kong, you start to realize, wow, I'm apologizing to my current friends a lot
to them on Kong's his behalf. Why
I'll follow DK's IG, but I'm not going to invite. I can't have a friend like that around the crew. I can't have that reflecting on me.
No, I'm not going to have him like at my kid's birthday party or something. God, are you kidding me?
Just inherently as a organism, I feel like there's just something lascivious about that.
It might just be that, like, I don't think we can have him back here knowing how close he is with Diddy. Like, I don't think
Hey, Griffin, that's such a good point. His relationship with Diddy, they were very close for a number of years, him and Diddy.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
I think that we've got, it's not beautiful.
It's not beautiful, I think it's beautiful of us to recognize, I mean, is what I mean.
Right now, in 2025, I think his relationship with Diddy is a huge problem.
I think so, too.
There's no way that fool shows up in the new game, right? There's no way. They're going to give him a game off, probably, to let the dust settle little bit.
Maybe change that name. Maybe change Diddson.
My theory is that Funky Kong is an undercover cop.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're all funky. He feels like, you know what I mean?
For sure.
The whole family is funky.
Yeah.
He feels like he overshot it Sneaky Pete style.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he showed up like a few years later, like, we're all pretty funky here, right? Hey, where are we burying all the money?
You know, 100%. Can I also say, I think the world is ready, now that this Donkey Kong game is out, for like a God of War-esque reboot, where we see Donkey Kong now a responsible human being who doesn't smash anymore.
He has a new son named like Charles or something normal. Yeah.
And then like somebody comes to him and they're like, we need you to smash stuff. And he's like, I don't do that anymore. I don't
That's
smash.
That's a pretty good God of War.
Thank you. I can't do it on purpose.
Nope.
It's like there's also something about just his name that feels gaslighting to me. Like he tells you it and you're like, nice. And then like a few hours later, you're like, Kong, no, not, I know a famous Kong, it's
you
not
can't
him,
just have that,
and he's not a donkey. This like, is, you know what I mean? Like, he gave me this fake name to try to set me at ease.
It's once again feels like a nickname that he got in college for being a cool party dude, that now he's in, like, his 40s, and he's everybody calls me Donkey Kong, and it's like, hey, man.
Like, at the office, he's like, let's just hope at the New Year's party, you guys don't meet Donkey Kong. That's all I'm saying. Sure. And they're like,
James,
what are you talking
about?
Can you
come into my office? We need to talk for a second. There's been a lot of HR
complaints. Do you want James or Kong?
No, I need to talk to James right now.
One second, let me get him.
Okay, you do great work
data
analysis, and we're really happy.
Your ties are always so crisp.
Yeah, but we've had a lot of complaints about Donkey Kong.
Yeah, I will. I have spoken to him repeatedly, sir. And unfortunately, when I get one whiff of a banana, the animal comes out. And
now, that's funny you say that because we talked, I'm HR, and I talked it over with some of my colleagues, and they said that's simply not a thing. They said there's a lot of things that, you know, will create special circumstances in the workplace, but after extensive research and consultation with many medical experts,
we got Dr. Mario confirm, to come in.
Dr. Mario was there, Dr. Robotnik. They did confirm that there is no condition where if you smell a banana, you turn into a crazy, crazy ape.
Yeah, okay. That's so interesting. You know, that's so interesting. I would love to talk with Popeye about that because Popeye beat the living shit out of Jeremy after one bite of spinach, and he was back in the office the next week.
Now, that's
So you tell me.
That is a food allergy.
That's related to his iron levels, and that's medically documented, James.
That is real. That is very real. We are also Chiquita Banana Company, so like it seems like your exposure to your triggering compound is going to be pretty unavoidable. I would ask why you came to work here. Why would you want to work here in the
No, don't open a banana, right, James.
Please, James.
James, don't open.
James, we are going to have to ask you to leave the building. James.
You're
going to
love it.
James, what are you opening it up on both ends? Oh, you have two bananas.
I've got two.
I thought you peeled it from both ends. That was like a...
James, we have a minecart right here that we'd
he's
like
got
to get in.
Stuck
it's
in his armpits now.
Out of the building.
I'm holding four at once.
Yeah.
Okay, James.
Let's hope, Juice, that the audio accompanies that clip wherever it may rear its head, because otherwise the pantomime you just did was...
Those two always need to be fused together like Lady Hawk, man. I need them to be sharing a body. I never want them separated. The audio and the video are one of a whole. You know how Mario was originally named Jumpman?
Yeah.
Everybody knows this. And then they needed to get an extension on their lease at the NOA headquarters in Seattle, and their landlord at the time was named Mario, so they named Mario in his honor, so he would give them a little bit more leniency with the loan. But originally it was Jumpman, and my headcanon for that has always been that is how Donkey Kong understands what has been presented to him. This is his game. It's his POV. As far as he knows, it's just a jump man. It's just a man...
He can't understand words. So that's just Jump Man for sure.
Jump Man. I understand it to be Jump. He still doesn't understand Mario. Like he doesn't know the name. It's
Did
just
you
jump.
Know
and they hang out
that,
all the time?
Yeah, for sure. Did you all know that Yoshi's full name is T. Yoshisaur Munchakoopas, which was actually the name of Shigeru Miyamoto's podiatrist?
Huh.
And he named T. Yoshisaur Munchakoopas after his podiatrist, Dr. Munchakoopas.
Did you know that Zelda is the boy?
I did.
I recently started working at Griffin.
We do that perfect. More often than we don't do that. We all start talking at the same time to begin.
Yeah, but only one of us has the list of questions. The other two are about to kibitz and second guess. Yeah. And one of us is about to lead us to the promised land of a new bit, okay?
Yeah, we'll get there.
I recently started working as a hairstylist assistant at a local salon. My boss, the hairstylist, seems...
That track.
Can I just say, I'm really relieved your boss is the hairstylist, because if there was yet another layer of middle management in the barber industry that I did not know about, I was really going to be thrown for a loop. I'm glad there's just the one layer of assistant to the barber that I did not know existed. There's not an assistant to the assistant. My boss, the hairstylist, seems nice and cool overall, and he revealed to me pretty much as soon as I started working there that he has a pet house pig. He won't stop bringing up the pig in conversation with clients and repeat stories about her constantly. I have no problem with him owning a pig, and in fact, think it's pretty awesome. But I think I'm going to go insane if I keep hearing the same stories over and over again. How can I steer the conversation away from her or make him stop talking about her altogether? That's from Porky Problems in Chicopee.
I never
thought about this.
About pig? As a pet?
You've never thought about what would it be like to work for a hairstylist who has a pet house pig that talks about it constantly?
Yeah, no. Of course not. That's really
specific. If you are somebody that shares a barber space or a hair salon space with other hairstylists, right?
Yeah.
They probably come in with their 5 to 10 minutes of material.
Yeah, they're tight five. You know? Yeah.
They're five. Here's my thing that I'm doing today. Here's what I got spun up. And I'm going to give everybody this anecdote. If you got the chair next to him, you could be hearing the same fucking anecdote over and over again. Yeah. Guys, my masking, I don't think I could cover the fact that I've heard this story before.
I don't think I could cloak it.
No way. No way.
I do think if you have a pig, you do want to be talking about it.
Of course.
Just so it's worth it. We have friends who got a pig once because they had a yard space for pig, and we lived in Texas, and why the fuck not? And did you all know, this is actually cool, a pig is the loudest animal on the earth, and when it does it squeal or anything, it's not Babe in the City. It is a shrieking air raid siren that goes off 120 times a day. I think maybe if you do have that particular type of pig in your home, you have to talk about it just to, one, let some of the pressure out from time to time so you don't. And two, so it just feels
so you
like
don't
it's.
Eat it.
Are you maybe given, is this guy maybe given the softest sell? Is he maybe hoping eventually he'll be like, I don't know, I'd hate to give him up. He's really a great pig. I guess.
And now if you look at where I've trimmed the back of your hair, whoa, it looks like the pig came in and shaved some pig in the back of your hair.
Amazing.
What the fuck? The pig can talk through it. Hey, in Charlotte's Web, what's the story there? Because everyone sees the spider web that says some pig, and then everyone's like, holy shit. But it doesn't seem like anyone's really necessarily crediting the spider much.
No, they think the pig did it.
Everyone in the book has, it's important for Charlotte's Web to work that everyone in the book be among the dumbest human beings that have ever lived on the planet.
They have a fundamental misunderstanding of pigs and their web-slinging capabilities.
If they showed up and Wilbur had a fucking golden egg sitting in his trough, would they be like, damn, Wilbur, you laid a golden egg from your cloaca? Shit, man,
Absolutely, that's awesome, dude.
Now, it is important, though, to note that would convince them that he was pretty special. I think that within the fiction of Charlotte's Web, the fact that he is able to spin a web that says some pig, if they thought all pigs could do that, it wouldn't be that notable.
But it's so fucked up. Like, it's clearly a spider talking about a cool pig. And it's like, I'm glad the spider likes the pig, but the big headline is spiders are riding and God is real. Like, God is real. Come to our barn and see. There is a creator. He made us in a loving way, in his loving image, and he wants us to know this pig is okay.
Ignore the dipshit pig, because, like, the spider won't do her thing.
Clearly, the pig.
We got rid of the pig. The pig's so fucking loud, we got rid of it because it would, like, scare the guests away when they would come, and we'd charge $1,000 a ticket to see the god spider. But, like, if we do take the pig away, the spider gets really fucking cranky about it.
Folks, here's what I'm here to tell you, folks. It doesn't fucking matter what the spider's writing. The impulse is in a spider's brain. We can't decode that. I don't know why the spider likes the pig. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's a spider. The important thing is there's
now,
letters.
That said, we know that the spider has recently been spinning some questionable statements, and they're problematic.
Ignore that.
We understand that.
Ignore the sentiment.
It's the fact that the spider can write.
Can make
that's
words.
That's important. Please don't take the words what's to heart. You're not endorsing it.
She's got something new. It says pizza time. Okay, like that doesn't mean anything, and it's not the strong biblical message that we are hoping the spider will get across, but it's crazy that the spider knows how to write the letters to spell pizza time in the first place.
The words that the Charlotte writes in the book include terrific,
yeah,
some pig,
uh-huh,
and radiant, as well as humble. Now, had it been me, Charlotte, yeah, I would have begun with humble, because yeah, that is going to get people in the right mindset to accept whatever comes next. Bow sure before the Lord thy God. He has made this spider in his divine image as his messenger.
She also should have started with some pig, because if he just says terrific,
that could mean anything.
How do we know that she's like, she's an influencer, thing, right? And she's figuring out her hashtags, and just putting terrific isn't a good hashtag.
Yeah,
but
that might be
a different thing.
Yeah, and Travis said it different.
I said it should start with humble.
No,
yeah,
it's like, I guess from God. But I said a different thing from you.
Yeah, that happens.
I can't
sometimes
start with both, though.
What about some pig, comma, humble?
That's cool. Some pig, comma, complimentary.
Ooh. Oh, maybe it's this. Some pig, and then in tiny letters, I know I, the spider, wrote this, but I'm keeping it humble. Keeping it 100. This ain't about me. It's about the pig. Signed, right, Charlotte, the spider. Please don't kill me either. I know how human beings feel about spiders.
Can you pretend that you have two pigs?
Oh, nice, dude.
Because if you start, I think the barber is going to get, if you start spinning tales, right, of your two pigs that are gallivanting, right, around, he's not gonna have the guts to even mention his paltry one pig.
Mm-hmm.
That's half, yep, the laughs, half the hijinks, half the hot dog eating. No, thank, yep, you.
Maybe come in with a couple blue ribbons. But you're like, I didn't even enter them, but they're so cool.
They're so good.
Somebody, right, came by. To me. Yeah.
You could get a bite mark on your arm and over the weekend say there was a terrible pig accident. And so now when a barber brings up pigs, it gets you pretty freaked out. So please.
You could try to lure the pig into biting you.
I thought we were going to go into a were-pig thing.
Oh, yeah. You could also do a were-pig Peter Porker thing for sure.
Or you could lure the pig into biting you and have the authorities put it down.
Well, maybe not.
Have a pig.
Yeah.
Because then you'd have to go to their house, and that's a whole fucking,
yeah, and then
trip.
You're going to have to look at all the
maybe
photo
you'd be
albums
enchanted by the pig, yeah.
But there is a pretty good chance that the owner of the pig is going to be like, oh, no. Oh, no, stop.
Is it possible, like, I can't, so pigs are very intelligent, right?
Yeah.
The idea of a house pig, when a pig is like, hey, all the stuff I really like mud, yeah, and digging for things,
sloppy
and stuff,
shit.
That's,
yeah,
all outside, and you won't bring, yeah, any, man, of that stuff in here.
If a pig could talk, the first thing the pig says when it gets adopted is, "Are you sure, man? I'm a sloppy shit monster, and I'm gonna fuck all your stuff up. That's what I want in my life.
That's what I, yeah, do.
I'm gonna get in your garbage can. I'm gonna make a terrible mess every day. Are you sure?
And I'm not gonna appreciate you or anything you do because I know better." I know about it. Do you think I'm a dog? Those guys, they're happy with anything. They love it. Oh, that's great.
If you're a pig head and you're listening to this, you have a pig at your house, please know we're not talking about your special precious.
No,
angel.
Your special.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're talking about,
great,
bad pigs.
We don't want to hear about your pig either.
No, but we know that it's a good precious angel. Just know that we're talking about shitty pigs.
How do you know when you look at a pig that's just been born, yeah, how do you know that is going to be a good house pig versus a farm pig?
They have a little bib on them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they have Wellingtons. When I'm indoors, I wear slippers in the colder months and plastic sandals in the warmer months. My plastic sandals occasionally make a delightful farting noise when I turn my bare feet in them just so. Not like a rail ripper, more like a clarion toot. We have plumbers at our house right now, and when I walked past them at one point, my sandals made the noise. How do I convince these plumbers that I did not, in fact, fart in front of them or demonstrate to them the flatulent capacity of my sandals. That's from No Toots in New England. I do really enjoy the image of you, like, walking back and forth near them, like, oh, there they go again, my farting shoes. Yep. Everyone, are you hearing this? Wow, what a zinger.
I have to wear them. That's non-negotiable.
Their prescription.
I bought some for you, too, so you could see. Here, everybody, put on our sandals. Stop your work. Stop your work. Let us walk around the house together, barefoot, in your sandals.
Let's normalize putting the pressure to relieve this situation on the audience, on the recipient of it. I think in the same manner that when someone sneezes, you say, bless you. When someone scoots a chair or slides their arm against some hardwood or apparently walks in these clown sandals and it makes a fart noise, but you know that's not what just happened, the onus should be on you to look at them and say, like, you're cool. I know.
Can we normalize just looking at someone dead in the eyes, no conversation, and just saying, that's life.
Like, that's cool. Ooh. The same energy. I fucking
same
love
energy.
That,
hey,
dude.
Pal, that's life. Like, that's you hear the fart noise, you look at them. Either you farted or you didn't, you know, but I'll just say, that's life.
Now, I will say this. Yeah. I don't want a that's life a real fart. I don't want
well,
a that's
I think,
life.
I think
do.
That's part
I
of
do.
It right there.
That's what I'm saying.
I think that there has to be a level of honesty here where if I am working at someone's home and the noise happens or someone scoots their chair or whatever, and I indicate that I assume it was created by an inanimate object.
Yeah.
It is then if you say, no, that was real. And now we're all, we're being honest with each other. We're
but
being
I don't,
direct.
That's too honest. I want you to feel comfortable. And the way that I do that is if you do rip like a stage 5 beaver, like right next to me and a picture frame falls off a nearby wall, I'm not going to look at you or acknowledge that at all. I know what happened, and you don't want me to acknowledge that. They don't want acknowledgement. They only want it if it's a sandal fart and it's not real. You don't want to be acknowledged for your heinous gas. There's no way, guys.
But there's two. But once it happens, there's a bifurcation, right, between the reality of the situation and the situation in my head.
Yeah.
And if this person has left a complete vacuum, I'm inserting the worst I can come up with. If they look at me and say, that's life, we're done.
If you rip a huge actual
huge
fart,
beefer.
If the you, Justin, are sitting next to someone on the airplane, you rip one and the cranberry juice on their tray table like spills and they look at you and they go, that's life. You're going to feel good or you're going to feel bad, embarrassed, creeped out, weird, and terrible.
What about instead of that's life, what about pretty convincing? Now, this works on
that's
two
cool,
levels.
That's cool, actually, yeah.
Because on the one hand, it's acknowledging, like, that sounded almost real.
Yes.
But also, if it was real,
yes.
I'm convinced.
Travis, even better, if you actually did fart and you say something like, sounded pretty convincing, then they think, they thought it was fake. They thought it was a phony coming out of my sandals.
Right.
When for real, it was real. That also gets rid of any of the bad feelings. That's really good. And it's honest.
It is honest. Comes from an honest place.
Comes from an honest place.
Is there like a Gesundheit, a bless you version that the two parties involved, or multiple parties, can all, in a very short, maybe one or two words, agree that they are just going to erase the last 15 seconds from their minds?
What about, that's life?
Huh.
I mean, that's life.
If someone says that's life to me after I...
But that is life.
I don't know what situation I'm in life where I fart out loud enough for a stranger to hear it.
Anything else?
But if someone does that to me, I'm going to be creeped out by them. That is akin to them saying, like,
It's not akin to them savoring it. That's not akin to that at all, Griffin. It's not akin to them being like,
it feels
beefy.
Akin to that. It feels of a nature relating to that.
I'm just saying we need to normalize saying stuff that acknowledges without judgment. And I feel like the problem with the silence is that it is judgmental. There's a judgment in the silence. So I feel like filling the silence with That's life. Because it is. That's life, guys.
That's
it
life. But it's, what about Safe Zone? You just announced Safe Zone.
Safe Zone.
It's not, I don't. What that is mean, that? Wait.
That sounds like do it closer
safe,
to
Safe
that
Zone.
Yeah. That's no good. I don't know how much longer we want to talk about this, but a fart is selfish.
Free space.
When you do one, you're making the world the worst place for everyone around you. You're saying, huff me. Like, you are. This is a very personal experience that you may or may not have signed on for. I do not think we should be so quick to excuse a real, actual fart.
Sometimes they pip out.
Yeah, they pip out, but you
it's
try really hard.
It's not rude that they pip out.
It is still rude. You're hurting people
it's
with the bad
rude
smell
that
you
pip
make.
Out. Your body pips them out, not my brain.
Go further away.
It needs to happen. Sometimes
I
you're trapped
know
in
about
a space.
It.
You're too deep in a window seat on an airplane, Griffin. What's ruder, making them get up so you could go to the bathroom just to toot?
I have to go to the bathroom to toot. No way.
I think I've reached my limit, guys. I don't think.
Okay, well, actually, let me. This is great timing. Then, great. When I was on the plane back from our recent shows in California, it was.
Thank
you,
everybody who came out to see us. By the way, it was fucking great.
We didn't fart once during the whole show. You're welcome.
Second flight back, which should be about 50 minutes long from Atlanta to Charleston, and I'm on in the flight, and it gets to be like the last 5 minutes of the flight, and they make the announcement like, "Okay, everybody, strap in because we're about to land." And I think, damn it, I should have peed because I really need to pee. And then I kind of like raise my hand. I'm like, can I like, I signal.
Always
like,
cool.
Okay?
Always. Can I? Always the look.
And she's like, no, like this, don't. So I'm like, okay, fine.
And then she made me think you were saying, can I land the plane? Can I go with it? Can I take it? I've just always wanted to, if I could. I'm a pilot with wings.
I don't want to do the landing. I just want to do a loop. So I'm like, I'm going to go ahead and get onto the bathroom. And they said no. So then it goes to land, and then I see the airport, and then we pass the airport. Oh, no. And then we start doing a loop.
One of them.
And this guy is doing one of those. So now we're taking a loop. I see that loop start, and I know, oh, no. Yeah. I really had to pee before, but now I really, really got to pee. And then the guy goes around in 5 minutes, and he does a loop, and then he's about to land at the airport, and then he goes right past it, and we're going again. And then I look at her, the flight attendant, and she looks at me, and she's like, what can you do, man? Sorry, man, we're looping.
That's life.
That's life. We're looping. Guys, we looped for a third time, and now the need to pee has gone beyond the sort of like, I'm up against physical.
Exquisite pain, I think they call it.
I'm up against physical limits. I'm up against physical barriers, right? I'm now at this point, I look at her, and I have put my backpack onto my lap because I have decided, like, I'm going to have to pee my pants a little bit, right. You know, but I'm
just
terrified.
To release the pressure.
I am terrified that, like, if I start peeing, that I won't be able to stop. This is literally, this is
hubris.
How bad.
Hubris to think you could cut a midstream sitting peeing pants. No way.
Right.
This is an emergency controlled burn scenario. Yeah,
right. I no look, way. I, as a Hail Mary, I look at her and I just say, please. And she picks up the phone.
Yeah, we got a real piss boy situation.
She picks up the phone and she calls the pilot.
Justin, how are you just now telling us this story, man? This is fucking
we
solid gold, dude.
She domed you into begging to pee, and then she had to, like, let the captain know, like, I got another
one.
Did
the captain have to stop driving the plane for a couple minutes so you could... Is that?
There, I think you can argue, Griffin, there was at least a half moment of some attention that I had diverted from the landing of the plane to my person.
Did he say please? Okay, yeah.
That's all he said, sir. That's all he said was please.
How pathetic does he look? Does he backpack and lap like he's about to business pants to release the pressure?
He probably thinks he can just do a little bit, but we've seen otherwise, haven't we, Patricia?
Yeah, we don't want to have to replace another seat, do we?
She looks at me, and she says, I'm sorry, and shakes her head. She says, he says we're landing soon.
Heard that before.
So, So we land, and at this point, I'm thinking to myself, please pee. I'm thinking to myself, pee your pants, Justin. It'll be okay. You won't die. You won't die. They'll put you in jail maybe for something, but like, you're not going to die from it. You're going to be okay.
Yeah.
And I was telling myself to pee.
Did you get the impression that the pilot at least tried to give the smoothest landing possible in acknowledgement of your discomfort?
Yeah.
It was a humdinger. And then we land, and we are rolling up to the airport, and I'm doing the thing where, like, I'm just, you know, I'm ready. I'm, like, pushed out of my seat, ready to go.
Yeah.
And then the plane stops about 20 yards short, and they say, folks, due to a lightning storm, the ground crew is not able to reach us with the jet bridge right now, so we are going to have to give it about 20 minutes.
But you can get up during the 20 minutes, right?
Well, she immediately says, everyone, please, please, for your safety and for the legal, you know, for our legal culpability, please stay seated and stay buckled. And then she looks at me and she says, it's okay.
Wow.
So now, right after this announcement, as people are like, I'm towards the front of the plane and the restrooms are in the very back. As people are strapping in and they're thinking about how they're going to be stuck here for 20 minutes, they've just learned while they wait for the ground crew, I have to strut past them like, that's right, folks, not me, not this special
rabble rouser.
Juice, I don't know how to tell
three
you
three and a half minutes. I timed it. Three and a half minutes.
That's huge.
These people must have, there is no way any of these people thought I was in there for number one. No way was that a number one amount of time that I was in the bathroom.
That's crazy, dude.
That's why, Justin, when you're walking back there, you just have to look everybody one by one in the eyes and say, I'm not trying to cause trouble. I've got a piss boy emergency.
Now, I think there was probably something in Justin's body language and the sort of meter of his gait that probably people saw that and immediately was like, damn, that dude's about to pop. Get him to the restroom immediately.
I feel like if you looked in my eyes, you would have seen beyond the beyond. I feel like you would have learned the secrets of how the pyramids were assembled. Like, just by looking. That's how deep into the horizon my awareness had peeled. I had peeled through the layers. I had to pee so bad that I was no longer a member of the society that we had all agreed on, right?
Yeah.
I had, it only took this much before I was like, I think I'm going to leave society and pee my pants in the chair.
When you ascend and transcend Laszlo's traditional hierarchy of needs, and you reach the sort of piss orb that hovers above the pyramid, it's hard to like really relate with the thoughts and feelings of people who are still kicking it on the traditional hierarchy.
It's what they don't tell you, that pissing your pants is an act of rebellion.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, it says that there is something going on right now in the current status quo that just isn't working for this guy.
For me.
So I'm just going to go ahead and make pissies.
And I do just want to say that Laszlo's hierarchy of needs is, that's Maslow's brother. And I didn't misspeak. He has a different hierarchy of needs. And
because number one on Laszlo's hierarchy of needs is not pissing your pants.
Not pissing your pants is very high on it. Yeah. There's also like
keeping the people of Liberty City laughing. I mean, that's huge for Laszlo.
That's huge, huge. Bro time is like big on his.
Yeah.
Just like a sort of amorphous bro time.
Letting chips go stale.
Not letting chips go stale is huge for him. Tornadoes.
That's a whole base of his.
Tornadoes. Yeah. He's just really into them.
And tomatoes.
Yeah.
Can we
go to the Money Zone?
I was about to suggest. God, you read my mind. It's amazing.
Yeah. I think we should go to the Money Zone.
Cool, dude.
Too little, too late.
Squarespace.
What if we were allowed to do that? Wouldn't that be an effective advertisement if we just said the word Squarespace for 2.5 minutes?
Our dad was in a local ad that where the jingle for a shoe company. It was half price, half price, half price, half price, half price shoes.
I'm sure everyone's familiar in Jews.
No, not everyone's familiar. I know because they sell stickers of it at the Red Caboose. So I can't imagine that everyone's familiar with our dad's
Squarespace is, first of all,
not our dad.
Not our dad, a sponsor of our podcast.
But it's done more to take care of us than our dad in recent years. I mean,
that's true. Our dad has not sponsored a single episode.
If our dad tried to make a website, that shit would not boot or whatever websites do to get started. But you can get started making a website so easily with Squarespace. The three of us don't know fucking anything about computers or like programming and stuff. But Squarespace, love? What?
We don't know anything about love.
We do know about that. That's the only thing we know about.
Yeah.
Squarespace does the other stuff. They give you the tools you need to make an incredible, professional-looking, beautiful website. If you're a professional who needs a website, you can offer services, get paid all in one place with on-brand invoices and online payments. So many different systems to get that cheddar. And all the websites look amazing. There's a library of professionally designed and award-winning website templates. You pick the one that you want, designed for whatever category that you need it for, and you customize it how you want. And it's easy and it looks great.
Head to squarespace.com/mybrother for a free trial. I wanted to take credit for all the good work you just
yeah,
did.
Yeah, bro.
Whoa, yeah, man. Dude, I wanted to swoop in.
That sucks,
and make it
man.
Seem like
Travis,
I
Travis,
done...
as punishment, you have to do the next ad.
Well, let's finish your swoop.
I was just telling him about it.
Head to squarespace.com/mybrother for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use offer code MYBROTHER, all one word, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace, you bring the love. We'll bring the website. What do you guys think about that?
I don't like it. ZocDoc is now the next one.
Okay, ZocDoc. Let me tell you a little bit about ZocDoc. Maybe you've caused a deep rift between yourself and your younger brother by stealing his ad read. And you're like, we need to do some therapy to work on this.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we even start? Is there a couples therapist that specifically works with brothers? Ideally a throuples therapist for three brothers to work on.
I do hate everything you just
everything
said.
That's happening.
Fucking, I revile it.
I just came up with that word. Is that something already?
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's a word that people use exclusively to describe their flesh and blood kin real brothers. That's the word they use, is throuple, to describe
interesting.
Them.
Interesting. Okay.
So keep, using, using, keep doc, using it just like that.
Okay, so using ZocDoc, you could make a throuples therapy appointment for you and your brothers.
Sure.
Do you really want me to keep using it, Griffin? Because
I'd rather die.
Okay, great. And, you know, it's not just therapy. There's all kinds of doctors on there. You can get dental appointments, dermatologists, your just regular checkups, all kinds of stuff. It's easy. It's fast. And it's comprehensive. So ZocDoc makes it easy to find the right doctor right now, and it's all online. And you'll probably be able to book an appointment before probably the end of this episode. I don't know about ad, because I'm about to wrap it up.
He's about to finish.
Yeah, man.
I can always tell.
Yeah, but ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality in-network doctors and click instantly to book an appointment. It's easy. It's fast. Griffin used it when he moved to D.C., and set himself up for all his important doctor's appointments.
Literally just used it yesterday. Amazing.
There you go. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/mybrother to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/mybrother. ZocDoc.com/mybrother.
Hey, it's John Moe from Depression Mode. Every week on our show, we have honest, humane conversations with artists, entertainers, and experts about what it's like to live with an interesting mind. I just interviewed Gavin Rossdale from the band Bush. You might be wondering, what would a successful, handsome, popular musician know about mental health? Turns out, lots.
All the time, we're forced into happy situations, sad situations, challenging situations. Happy, sad, challenging. And it just never ends. And why should it? You know, we're just the sum of all these journeys.
Check out Depression Mode with John Moe every Monday at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you been looking for a new podcast all about nerdy pop culture? Well, I have just the thing for you.
Secret Histories of Nerd Mysteries is a weekly pop culture history podcast hosted by me, host Alston.
And me, host Brenda. We've already tackled mysteries such as what happened to the puppets from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Is Snoopy Mexican? And why do people hate Barney so much?
From theme parks to cartoons to 80s, 90s, and 2000s nostalgia, we tackle it all.
Check us out every Tuesday on MaximumFun.org and wherever you get podcasts.
Your camera's off, Juice. I can't see you. Oh, that's why, okay.
I want a munch!
Squad!
I want a munch!
Squad! Hi, Countdown.
Hello, boys. It's such a pleasure to be back with you on your program.
It's been a minute. Okay. Do you need some dirt from underneath your keep? Because you look a little raggedy, my friend.
It's the sunlight that is burning my eyes.
It's a new beautiful cape, I must say.
It's a nice cape.
My cat pissed on my other one. Yeah, I want to tell you boys about the new release from one of my favorite practitioners of Donut Delights. Krispy Kreme.
Just right to business, huh? You don't want to catch up.
Krispy Kreme.
Okay.
And Warner Brothers discover global consumer products are powering up fans' taste buds with the all-new Hungry for Heroes collection.
Cool.
Featuring three donuts celebrating iconic DC superheroes.
And I'm imagining a fourth donut that has had a very, very light amount of customization. Perhaps even not even part of the color palette of the other three donuts. Yes.
Landing today for a limited time at participating U.S. shops, the Hungry for Heroes donuts will rescue your sweet cravings.
Cool.
That's great, because every time I look at like Superman or Batman or Wonder Woman, I think, I wonder what they taste like.
For sure.
Yes. Capture the taste of your favorite heroes. I'm going to share with you boys the images so you can virtually eat them with me.
Okay. All right.
There we go.
There we go. So that's okay.
It's time to take your taste buds to heroic heights. This is a Superman donut. Taste your taste buds to heroic heights with Superman, the donut. This unglazed shell is filled with smooth white cream, dipped in light blue icing and topped with fluffy buttercream flavored clouds. Finished with a bold Superman piece and colorful Superman sprinkle blend. It's a sweet celebration of courage, strength, and sky-high flavor.
I don't like there being something on the donut I'm going to eat called a bold Superman piece. Piece of what?
It's got the very bold. It celebrates the courage with the donut. Next up, Batman.
I love, if we could scroll back up there, Count Donut, that it's clearly Superman flying through the clouds. But from the perspective, it could also just be seen as Superman bursting out of the middle of a donut to be like, right. I live in here.
I live Happy in this birthday. Donut. The Batman donut. Is this one, can you describe the Superman?
The Superman donut looks like a big, full blue donut with light blue icing, and there's like a little cartoon Superman
blue donut. What I love there too is they've reimagined the Superman character to be that when he flies, he leaves a cloud of sprinkle dust behind him, like he was Tinkerbell.
That's James Gunn's whole shit.
Wonder Woman, the donut. Inspired by the power and grace of a true hero, the Wonder Woman donut begins with our classic original glazed donut dipped in red raspberry-flavored icing. It's topped with blue sprinkles and bright white star shapes capturing the essence of strength and courage in the medium of sprinkle. Finished with a Wonder Woman piece and belt, this donut is a tribute to fearless leaders and everyday champions alike. A balance of flavor and flair that's ready to save your snack time.
There's gotta be a middle ground for marketing writing between nothing and
these sprinkles. The sprinkles courage. Are brave.
The sprinkles have courage.
Lastly,
do you think when they were writing that description, originally it said white stars, and they were like, we're worried people think we put actual celestial stars. Bodies. We better clarify that they're just star shaped,
not the actual stars.
The arrangement of the donut is also wild, because half of it does have the blue and white stars to resemble Wonder Woman's pants. And the top is just red icing with a little Wonder Woman piece on it. So it's like they've given the donut a shirt and pants. There is no there's not a lot of great bites you're going to get out of this thing.
No.
It's going to be either whole bunch
one
of sprinkles.
Bite is, there's a few bites that are going to be about taking off that Wonder Woman piece, and a few bites are going to be about knocking off sprinkles.
Yeah. Also, if I'm watching you eat the Wonder Woman donut and you eat the pants first, I'm going to be like, you pervert.
Nasty dog. Okay.
I also, we never get follow-ups on these Count Donut of like, this is what ideally they look like when a donut artist has sat down and spent 25 minutes to make it look like this. I want to see what they look like.
I don't think they
Lastly, the Batman donut. Step into the night with the Batman donut. A fearless, unglazed shell. What?
It what says, does that mean?
A fearless, unglazed shell. I am not the fault of my lack of glaze. I've made peace with it.
These other unglazed shells, they're cowards.
They cower in their lack of glaze. Filled with cookies and cream filling, cloaked in bold black chocolate icing, and slashed with bright yellow signal streak, topped with a heroic symbol. It's the ultimate treat for those who rise to any challenge.
Thank Dave you. I've been looking for a donut for people who rise to any challenge for decades now. Decades.
We can't.
I'm actually a little disappointed that they didn't go further with this description and talk about how like the cookies and cream represents the balance of dark and light within Batman and Bruce Wayne's soul as he struggles to. Exist in the world of darkness, but not become darkness himself.
We can't promise you'll reach Superman, Batman, or Wonder Woman level by bringing a dozen donuts to the office for your next get-together, but you will be a hero,
says Dave Skinner, Chief Growth Officer at Krispy Kreme. Now, I want to mention one thing before we leave this topic. Are you looking at the... Okay. All right, you see this?
Yeah, it looks like the bat signal shining up.
It looks like the bat signal shining. But if you can just look, can you see this? Can you?
Yeah, it's got a little cream nub in there.
So this is what I want to ask you, boys. Do you think you have a perfect donut? It looks so beautiful. We love it, right? The cream and the frosting, everything. And then at the upper, it's about 1:30, about 1:30 p.m., you run into these little... sloppy blob.
Right, yeah, they left a sloppy blob on their product shot.
A little sloppy blob. And if you look at Superman,
Superman has it too.
Your eyes. It's a tiny sloppy blob. And I'm wondering, boys, you're an expert in marketing. I hear you do advertisements and commercials.
Yeah.
Do you think they had to show the sloppy blob?
Yeah, the sloppy blob suggests that when you bite into this Batman donut, there will be such a deluge of cream. It's going
to
be, there's so much. We're giving you so
bursting.
Much. We're going to give you so much cream spelled with a capital K is real and off-putting. You're going to fucking freak out.
What they communicate with the sloppy blob is that they have so much cream that they're willing to part with that even overages cream, more cream than even the donut shell is prepared to intake.
Yeah, Jeremy went wild with this one, you guys. He used so much cream in there. Do you think that they missed an opportunity to have just a plain unglazed shell with nothing decorating it and call it like the Lex Luthor donut?
Eat his bald head. Is that what you're suggesting?
One, it's his bald head, and two, that's going to be the donut that everyone's like, why did you get, that's evil, that you just got an empty, unglazed shell.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? That's the Lex Luthor donut.
I would like to ask a question to you two boys. If you could have a different superhero-themed donut, which one do you think would taste the best?
Polka Dot Man.
Ooh.
Could be fun. Polka Dot Man could be fun.
I would love a Green Lantern one that has mint chocolate chip filling.
Hmm.
Or Moon Knight.
Are you going to do anything with this information, Count?
Just curious.
That's fucking crazy, man.
I'm more of a literature guy, but I'm trying to take an interest in you too. I don't see why that's such a crime.
You should check out like graphic novels and stuff. It's literature.
Yeah, you would enjoy.
I like my novels extremely graphic. If the novel doesn't have at least 4 beheadings by the 3rd chapter, then I quit reading it. That's how graphic books, I like my novels.
How many books fit that description?
Are you using your own podcast as the platform to flaunt your own ignorance of literature? How an embarrassment for you.
That's just that's a huge beheadings to chapter ratio.
I actually think the Adventure Zone graphic novel does fit that criteria.
Some authors have the strength of their convictions, Griffin, and they're willing to take a hit if it moves the story forward.
So what superhero would you want to be a donut?
I don't know.
Probably Morbius, am I right?
The Count of Monte Cristo. That's the only superhero I know of. Maybe Scarlet
Man
Pimpernel.
Bat.
Can I have a Scarlet Pimpernel? Is he a superhero for you?
Scarlet Pimpernel donut would be all right.
I would like that.
I don't know. It's too close to pimple.
Yeah,
to have a cream-filled donut. That's true. It's upsetting.
I just wanted the Green Lantern for the lime of it.
You like those tropical tastes, Count? We're learning a lot about you this visit, pal.
I had some free time. Normally, I'm in such a rush. Sorry. As always, if you'd like to try a sample of them, there's the store. You can go to your local Kroger or Publix or Piggly Wiggly, and perhaps they will be in stock there.
I'm looking at the website. It doesn't say Piggly Wiggly. It just kind of seems like you wanted to say that in that Boy Scout donut.
Look who just lost access. Now I've closed the page.
It was available the 11th through the 13th, and it's now the 17th. So I doubt you'll find them.
Boys.
Yeah.
This has been so great. I've loved spending time with you. Thank you so much. Thank you for accepting me the way I am. I love you.
Yeah, no, it's always on your terms.
He flew away.
Wow. I didn't know he could do that.
He's a hero.
And he didn't turn into a bat, which is the usual way that you see.
No, he's Superman.
He rose his arms. Hey, guys, it's me. I was watching from across the table. He rose his arms and flew into the sky like Superman.
Yeah. That's cool. Awesome. I didn't know he could do that.
Speaking of flying to places, we're going to be coming to Atlanta for Taz versus Popeye.
Holy crap. I love it. I love doing shows in Atlanta. It's always so much fun. We're going to be Taz versus Popeye is going to be great.
And we're doing My Brother and Me while we're there. And we're going to be at Dragon Con. Also, coming up later in the year, we're going to be in Texas, Utah, and California. All the Taz shows
we were just
this
in
year.
California.
Yeah, we're going fucking back, bro.
Hell yeah.
I left my wallet.
All Taz shows this year will be Taz versus. Tickets for all show are on sale now. If you go to bit.ly/McElroy Tours, you can get the info and ticket links there. Also, Dad is doing D&D in a Castle November 3rd through 7th. Check out all the information at bit.ly/McElroy Tours.
We have some new merch up in the merch store. We've got a Why Not a Wizard pin and a Fuck Off King pin, both designed by Evan Cruz.
Well, the second one was designed by Daredevil.
Oh, I get it. Kingpin. Fuck off, Kingpin.
That's shit, man. Yeah. Cool, dude. You're so stoked. I love how happy you get about stuff sometimes, man. It's inspirational.
Man. I'm glad. We need that joy to buoy us. If I'm going to be the Shirley Temple of my generation, I need to generate all the smiles I can, you know?
Yeah.
10% of all merch proceeds this month will be donated to the Immigrant Defenders Law Center. Also, we have a newsletter. You can sign up for it at bit.ly/McElroy newsletter and be the first to know about new tour dates, projects, and more. And one more huge thanks to Montaigne for the use of our theme song, My Life is Better With You. Check out Montaigne's new album, It's Hard to Be a Fish. It really is terrific music. I keep coming back to it. And do we have a fear?
We do.
Oh, you mean for the show? Yeah. Sorry,
Justin, would you read it this time?
I'd be happy to, Trev. This year, I vow to be faster than my fear of being tweeted about by Tony Hawk for not recognizing him in public.
Haven't we done a Tony Hawk-related fear this year?
Everybody's afraid of Tony Hawk.
Everybody's afraid of Tony Hawk. My name's Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
It's been my brother and me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported directly by you.